Good morning and happy feast day of the Holy Trinity, Solemnity of the Holy Trinity, and also happy Father's Day to you all. So there you go, got it out. So, you know what? When we talk about a feast like the Holy Trinity, on the surface, this could feel like the most boring thing ever. It's like, okay, Father's going to come out and tell us, well, God is one and God is three. There's three persons, they're equal dignity. Each one individually is fully God in and of himself, but there's not three gods, there's only one God somehow. That's what we're celebrating. Makes perfect sense, right? Okay, enjoy yourself. But, you know what? This is actually, like, the most exciting feast day ever. If you want, all of you who are old enough, the hippie generation, there's not too many hippies out there, but there are a couple of hippies, Raphael, you qualify, hippie generation. This can be considered like the love feast, okay? Why is that? Because what the Trinity is basically saying that the God who made everything, the God who is the foundation of the universe, the God who made you, who made me, who made the angels, the saints, the world, everything, not only is God a loving God, not only is he a God who wants us to love each other and is harmonious, God is love. The one who created everything absolutely is love. The reason that the universe even exists is because of love. The reason that you exist when we're made is because of love. That's not a bad thing to be celebrating. And the way that this works is, it means that God is not just some monolithic figure like, I am God, worship me. A lot of times I think we kind of subconsciously think that. God is dynamic. He is a constant flowing relationship of persons who love one another. God is continually giving and receiving and accepting. He's like this constant movement of love that cannot be stopped. That is the God that we have. And there's a couple of practical applications for you and me. Because you know how the Bible says we are made in God's image and likeness in Genesis. We're made in God's image. What does that mean? Part of what that means is that you and I are made in the image not just of God. We're made in the image of the Trinity. That means we are made in the image of a God who is relationship, and we are made for relationships of love. And when God made us, he doesn't just make us like, kind of like he made the angels. He made the angels, it's just like each one is unique, individual, their own creation. Actually, it's kind of cool, you think about it. Every single angel, and there are billions and billions of them, there's actually more angels in existence, apparently, than there are human beings. Think of that. Every single angel that God has created is a unique species. Talk about a creative dude, okay? I used to think Elton John was pretty impressive because of how many songs he wrote. He got nothing on God, okay? God has created trillions of things that are unique. Amazing. But you and I are not like that. You and I are made as individual human beings, but we are made in a family. We are made, actually, four families. We're made in a family. And part of being made in God's image and likeness means that there's different ways of loving, right? So, for example, in a family, you have a father. You have, first of all, a husband and a wife. The husband loves in a unique way. The wife loves in a unique way. They're both different. They're similar, but they're different. There's a masculine way of loving and a feminine way of loving, okay? And the husband and wife love each other. They love, and this is the ideal, okay? You're probably thinking to yourself, well, you don't even have a clue. My marriage, forget it. Plates, half our plates are broken. We're throwing them at each other all the time. Frying pans, okay, whatever. Okay, I'm not talking about your marriage. I'm talking about marriage the way God wants it to be, okay? The way it's supposed to be. The way it's supposed to be, and what you wanted when you got into your marriage, was that you would make yourself a total gift to your spouse, and your spouse would make himself a total gift to you, and there would be, it's meant for, I know that I am loved, I know that I can love and be loved. I can give and be accepted and receive love. And from that comes a new kind of relationship of love, which is children, right? Again, the way that a child loves a parent is different than the way that a parent loves a child. The way that children love each other as siblings is different again. And when you have a whole neighborhood of families, there are friendships that are involved, and then there are grandparents that are involved, and each one of these is one unique dimension of God's love. And all of that happens because we worship a God who is not just a monolith. He is a trinity of persons. Every kind of human relationship of love that exists, every dimension of authentic love, friendship, for example, in war, not every love is romantic. We tend to romanticize everything and think, you know, hearts and whatever. If you're in a war and you are willing to die for the person next to you, that is love. Hopefully it's not romantic, okay? If you are willing to give yourself to the poor, that is love. If you are willing to serve your neighbor, that is love. Every one of these is a dimension of God's love. Now again, let's go back to the beginning. If that is the kind of God we have, is this a boring feast? Absolutely not. Now there's something cool about the Trinity. The Trinity, even though each of the persons in the Trinity is absolutely, they have the same value, right? So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they have the exact same dignity, the same power, if you want. They are each equally God. One is not more God than the other. Nonetheless, within the Trinity, each one of them has a distinct kind of role in their relationship with each other. And there is, you could say, one of the persons in the Trinity who is the boss man. Not because the others have to serve him, but Christ himself always makes reference to the Father. The Father is at the heart of the Trinity. And the Father is also, because we are made in the image and likeness of God, the Father is also at the heart of the family. Today we are celebrating Father's Day, and I think it's very appropriate that Father's Day lands on the solemnity of the Holy Trinity. Okay? The Father in a family does not have any more dignity than the wife or the children or anybody else. But he does have a special role. And when, as men, we live up to that role, the family will be solid and secure. And when we don't, the family will suffer. There's all kinds of statistics and stuff I could give you, but I want to just quote one, which I have mentioned in the past, but I finally found the official study. Thank God for AI. Back in the day, I didn't have, I used Claude, okay? You could use ChatGPT or whatever, but I used Claude. Thank God for Claude, okay? So I finally found the study I was looking for. Back in the year 2000, which to some of you that feels like it's another century, but humanity has not really changed that much in the last 25 years. We're still pretty much the same as we were back then, okay? Back in the year 2000 in Switzerland, and again, I know Switzerland is not the most religious country in the world, so these stats are a little bit pessimistic and depressing, but bear with me, because you're going to get the gist of it. Because human nature is the same, the gist of it is the same anywhere you go, even if the numbers may be a little bit different from country to country. So they did the survey, and it comes down to this. If both parents go to, it's a Protestant country, so not necessarily Catholic, but if both parents go to Sunday Mass or service every Sunday, here's what they found. 33% of their children will go to Mass regularly. A little depressing because it's Switzerland. It's not a real religious place. Hopefully in the United States the stats are a little higher. But if both parents go to religious services on Sunday, every Sunday, there's a 33% chance that their kids will regularly on their own go to religious services when they grow up. 41% of their kids will go once in a while. And 26% of their kids will just simply not go. Okay? You could, I don't know what the stats are here. It's probably more or less similar. What happens when only mom goes to church with the children and dad doesn't go? Dun, 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 dun. 2-3% of their children will go regularly. 2-3% will go regularly when dad doesn't go to mass with the kids on Sunday, regularly. 30% of the kids will go once in a while, you know, Christmas, Easter, whatever, quinceañeras. 67-68% simply won't go. Okay, here comes the one that's going to make all the women cry. What happens if dad is the one who brings the kids and mom stays home? Okay, it's not very common, but it does occasionally happen. 44% of their children will become regular mass attendees, as opposed to 2-3 if only mom brings them. Now remember, what was it if both parents go? It was 33%. What does that mean? Mom is dragging them down? No. What that means is, if you have a man who is strong enough that even if his wife isn't going, I am going to be head of the household, I'm going to be the priest of this domestic church, which is the family. If you have that kind of a man heading the family, 44% chance that their kids will go on their own, 33% will be irregular, 23% won't go. What does that mean? It means that as men and as fathers, we are called to be priests of your families. You are called to lead your family in worship. It doesn't mean you have rights over them or enslaving anybody, but it means our families need our example. They need our leadership. There are things that dad can do that mom can't. There are also things mom does and can do that dad can't. But in this domain, a family where the father is not picking up his part and leading the family in the faith, good luck expecting your kids to be faithful Catholics. And the flip side is, if you are that reflection of God the Father, who is not an overlord over the rest of the Trinity, who is co-equal and co-loving and co-dignified with all the other members of the Trinity, but who, if you are that image of the Father within the Trinity, if you're that image in your family, your children will come out secure, they will come out religious, they will come out more successful. There's all kinds of depressing stats about what happens when there's no father in the family, how many kids go to prison, how many kids can't keep a job, how many kids fall into drugs and abuse, all that stuff. I didn't bring the stats, that's not the point. But when we do live up to that vocation, as leaders of our household in the faith, our families will flourish. And it all has to do with the fact that the family is modeled on the Holy Trinity. So as today, as we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Trinity, let's also pray for our dads. And if our dads maybe didn't live up to that, then all the more reason that we should be praying for them. Because just like it's not easy to be a mother in today's world, it is certainly not easy to be a father in this world. And we need to pray for our fathers, and we need to pray for society, that God will bless all of the fathers out there, that they will lead their families to be images of the Trinity. Father.